Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Good morning. New coffee mug. I had recently placed an order through All American Roughneck, which is a Pennsylvania company that makes fantastic clothing. As you could see, this polo here, I wore some of their hats, and the red camo polo I wore in a couple different interviews is from there, and this one was from there as well. It was on sale, so I figured why not get it. Like it, like the fit, and high quality stuff from a company that's local to my state. And obviously the owner of my gym is also one of their models. And the other owner of the gym also works with Axe and Sledge. So I know I shouldn't be shilling a different supplement company that I don't directly work for, but if you do feel so inclined and you want some high quality clothing based out of Pennsylvania, go to All American Roughneck and use code BIGRED. Check out, that's going to send Joel a little bit of a thumbs up in that attaboy, and he probably gets some kickbacks or something like that if you want some high quality Pennsylvania clothing. And I know I'm a terrible salesman for my own stuff here, but I just think they're such fantastic people, both Joel and Justine, the owners of the gym, that anybody that would support them, that would just be great. Today I just kind of wanted to take it a little slow, just shoot the crap with everybody, and talk about the big picture. Kind of looking at things from a 50,000 foot view, as I think we tend to not do. We get so caught up in the day to day to day, and we don't really look at things from a way, 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 way up there perspective. And sometimes it's good to kind of slow down, chill out, and check all that stuff out. So, before we get moving into the rest of today's show, please make sure you go to all the links below where you can find me, the band, all the companies and stuff I work with. Obviously, Tiger Fitness through the link below. Use code Kyle at checkout. That'll give you a little discount. Let them know I sent you their way. Fox & Sons Coffee, which I do have in the mug. The La Flor Guatemala is in the mug. I can see it steaming, which is awesome. I wish you guys could see it too, but really like this coffee mug. La Flor Guatemala, use code Kyle to let Steve know that I sent you, and obviously Deem Fit through the link below to let him know that you support the Metovic family. And obviously all these things can help support you as well. And in using these codes and all this stuff, you could support me. So any which way, let me throw the intro and we'll just kind of coast on through the rest of the show. And one more time, good morning. Jack was in the pre-show, and Derek, come get brunch. I'll think about it. You sent me a snap. You were at Bottle, and Bottle's a little restaurant in New Kent. It's almost like a hole in the wall, but not really a hole in the wall. It's a building that you could completely miss if you're driving down the road and you don't look off to the right and see it. They have really good old fashions there. And their food there is really, really good. It's a very, very nice place on the inside. And actually, one of my coworkers keeps going there because I guess his church is pretty close by. So I don't know if he goes and repents for his sins and then goes and, you know, does it all over again. But yeah, I've been meaning to go back there, actually. That place is pretty awesome. So I'll be here for a bit. Cool. Yeah. Maybe I'll swing by. We'll see. Depending on the weather, my brother and I were supposed to go riding around on our mopeds. And I know everybody makes fun of people for having mopeds, but don't care. It's so much fun. But anyways, this morning and even yesterday, I was kind of, I am Friday. So pretty much this whole weekend, there was a pretty bad storm here in the wonderful state of Pennsylvania. And it was Tuesday night. So Tuesday night, I went with my brother's girlfriend and we went and saw Trivium and Bolt for My Valentine. And I was just absolutely crushed because Bleed From Within was supposed to open up. And I was real looking forward to seeing them because I'd never seen them before. And I really, really like their music. And August Burns Red was going to play after them. And like, I know them. I just don't know their music that well. Never really hooked me. And maybe it would if I like sat down and gave it an honest listen. But and maybe I'll do that today. But, you know, rather indifferent. It'd be cool to say I saw them, but whatever. So, and this tour was for the 20th anniversary of The Poison and Ascendancy. Bolt for My Valentine put out The Poison and then Trivium Ascendancy. And not only did this remind me that I'm getting old, but these two albums were like part of my childhood. Like I could, you know, I used to be able to play most of Ascendancy. And then even when I was watching Bolt for My Valentine play through all the stuff on The Poison, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like I learned that song, that song, that song, that song. You know, I knew the solo for this song. I used to sing and play this song way back in the day. And I could still probably play them, but it's just been a long time since I really dust up on it. But there was a real bad storm. And you know what? I don't know if I could maybe actually find the time lapse. Pittsburgh storm. It was nuts. Yeah, here we go. Now, hopefully I don't get like a strike. No, I don't care about your commentary. There is literally just a time lapse video of the whole storm. Okay, here we go. This one will be it. This is going to be on you're on Facebook, so they shouldn't smack me down too bad, hopefully. So this was the storm that came through Pennsylvania, and like this normally does not happen here. Like normally it's not that bad. Let me make sure that looks all right. Cool. So look at that. Going. And then it rolls in. Like, dude, that is nuts. We do not get storms like that here, like ever. So the concert, hopefully you guys can see my mouse, but like the middle left-hand side, right all around here, is right down where Stage AE is, which is like the, for like mid-size bands. So like your Trivium, your Killswitch Engage, your Bolt for My Valentine, them kind of bands, like bands of that size. Teddy Swims, another one who's like played there. Oliver Anthony is another artist that played there. Stage AE isn't like the biggest venue there, but that's where they played. It was outdoor. And, man, just it took me back. And Bolt for My Valentine was the first band up, and then Trivium played after them. They canceled Bleed From Within and August Burns Red. But my brother's girlfriend and I we just got dinner and we're waiting because they were delaying opening the doors because how bad the storm was. And they finally let us in. And for me, it's kind of like an up and down, right? Like, cool that we still got to see the show and that we also got to get out a little bit early and still catch all the bands. So, the show ended at like 10:30. I want to say like 10:24, somewhere around there to be exact. And normally by like 10:15, I would leave because like I'm an old dude. My bedtime's like 8-9 o'clock at the very latest. If I'm going to sleep past that, usually a little bit groggy the next day. But I had we stayed for all of Trivium's set, which they were the headliner. Yeah, just going through all the songs on The Poison when Bolt for My Valentine played, and then all the songs on Ascendancy. Just really, really cool stuff. But anyways, that wicked storm had blew through, you know, the state here. And my wife messaged me and said, oh, shingles blew off the roof. And I couldn't fucking believe it. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Power went out. Like people were there. I think there's still some people without power today. And the storm was on Tuesday. They told us our power may not be on until tomorrow. Now, thankfully, it was pretty crazy because I was driving home from the concert, dropped my brother's girlfriend off at her house, and then I was coming home and like everything was dark. There were no street lights on or anything by my house. I'm like, whoa, this is just crazy. It was kind of peaceful too because, you know, there is a certain thing of like the way that lights are when you're driving around at night, and like it was just like natural, just dark. So it's really cool. So I'm looking around. It's so quiet. which is weird. Like, you don't really realize how much noise there is until like everybody's in their house and there's nothing turned on. So yeah, power's out. We go to bed and I wake up. I had my phone sitting on my charger. And then when I picked it up, I saw it was charged by the morning. And I'm like, oh, so the power came back on. So thankfully, we only lost power for 12 hours or so, if that. I know B the other day, I don't know if he got power yet or not. My drummer, who lives like one town over, he still didn't have power for a couple days after that. So now, why am I telling you all this? Partially just because I'm, you know, sitting here BS and drinking coffee, and hopefully this is entertaining and you know, start your morning off right, where I just kind of rant and rave about whatever. But I had looked at the roof, got up on top, and saw that a few of the shingles flew off, like my wife said, and kind of had to think about what I was going to do about it. So my dad has this wonderful ability of looking at the big picture. To get us right into today's topic. But, you know, I called one guy to come over and give us an estimate. And then, you know, we have like a family plumber and contractor, essentially, like who just does work on houses. He was supposed to come over today, but obviously the weather's looking a little bit rough. So he's going to come over tomorrow and fix the roof. But like, I had the one guy come over to look at the roof, and he gave us a price on the roof repair, $500, which seems like a little much for just slapping a few shingles back on, especially when I have the shingles out back, or almost $12,000 for a roof replacement. Think about that. Ooh, take that a little too quick, but gave me the estimate for that. So I was kind of torn because I'm thinking, okay, would it be a good idea to replace the whole roof? The roof was put on in 2011. So they say roofs are good for 25, 35 years, something like that, right? This brutal storm only flicked off a few shingles. So whatever, Ray. Okay, let me try to make sure I'm where I'm at. Yes, did you hear the DARPA plan to use LEF lights to flicker at a certain frequency to control our subconscious to awaken the sleeper they programmed into the jabbed? I have not heard that. I've heard the flicker before, though, which is interesting. I've heard people talk about something similar to this where like, okay, so you start off with the jab, right? There was allegedly tons of little metal particles in the jab. Are those, is there something nefarious there? I don't know. Who knows? Then allegedly, you know, this kind of goes off into a million different directions. Like some people said, oh, this could be for geofencing, which doesn't really seem to have happened. Now, this theory here, which Ray, you're posing, is that there's sleepers. Okay, well, what are these sleepers going to do? I just don't think people are that smart. And in my experience, when it comes to technology and the way that it works, and even like AI or autonomous vehicles, this stuff advances at a very, 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 very slow rate. And even the people that you think are like very, very smart and kind of got everything handled and are really pushing this stuff forward, they generally aren't that far ahead. Now, is there some stuff there? Who knows? Respectfully and seriously, LED lights are toxic to human eyes. Think brain. Read John Ott, 1973. Health and Light is recommended by Dr. Jack Kruse. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I don't think staring at lights all day is good. Obviously, that's not kind of like natural for our bodies, but I guess my question would be, how bad is it? Like, obviously you don't want to have blue light on you. And I heard, I forget his name, but he's a real big health advocate, Sean Smith. He was talking about this where like, they put a little light under the back of somebody's knee when they were trying to sleep, and it actually disrupted how deep of sleep they could get. I believe some of the sleep studies are accurate, but it's also kind of, I feel like sleep is also a very individual thing. And, you know, how bad is disrupting your sleep over a lifetime with blue light? I don't know. I would imagine probably not good, because you want to get into the more deep, you know, sleep cycles for not only memory retention, but also for like recovery and all that stuff. There have been studies done on people like losing weight, and if they sleep poorly, then actually they lose, you know, half muscle, half fat, even when they have like protein at a higher level. So sleep for me has always been pretty difficult. So I always try to turn on like all the different blue light filters and stuff like that. Chris Kresser was somebody that I used to follow pretty well. And he said that like the blue light filters on phones don't really do much, but I still think it's probably better that you're not getting like the straight up fluorescent light like this, right? Like I have a camera. I have this camera, which is the one that obviously is recording me. And then I have a camera right here that I use the light. So that way I appear fancy to you guys, right? You can see my mug. I'm a little bit more clear when I have the light turned on, but, he had said that like the blue light filters don't really do much. So, I still probably don't think it's good to just constantly beam light in your face. It's not natural, but like our bodies are also very resilient. I was talking to Justine a little bit about this morning, who's the bodybuilder, IFBB pro, who works with Axe and Sledge. It's like the dosage makes the poison with a lot of this stuff, and like light on you, how bad is it? Once again, is it just like over the lifetime of exposure? Is it just the damage because of what it's doing to your sleep cycle? I would probably lean on that more than anything else, but I don't think just light on your skin is inherently going to kill you. Now, once again, over the lifetime, if you're constantly beaming blue light into your eye, I would think that's probably not good, but you know, what's like the evidence for this? I would need to read the book and read the argument a little bit more. Daytime and sunshine, sunset theory is go to sleep in a dark, quiet room. Sleep cycle is health cycle, according to Jack Cruz. I've tried it and it works for me personally. Well, exactly. And that's kind of like, I've heard people talk about this before whenever they set the clocks back or forward or whatever, when people lose an hour of sleep, supposedly like heart attacks tick up quite a bit, because you're disrupting people's natural schedules, which just like daylight saving time is just absolutely retarded. But I think, yeah, the natural human instinct is to not sleep when the sun's out. I don't like walk outside and just think, you know, I can take a nap now. I'm not a night person. I am a morning person. That's why I'm always up at about 4:30. And I like doing all my shit in the morning when nobody else is up, and I can kind of get working, get moving, sometimes even before the sun's up. That's just the way I like it. Let me run a Tiger Fitness ad and we'll keep kind of rocking and rolling here. All right. We're going to take a second a day to chill and tell you about the show's sponsors, Tiger Fitness. Make sure you go to the link below to get all the supplements that I use day in, day out, and beyond. As I always say, you do not need supplements to become all jacked and tan or to progress in your health journey, but they could definitely be a useful tool in that respect. So as you can see, on tigerfitness.com, we got MTS Nutrition, Blackstone Labs, Ambrosia, HPN, Nutrix Research, America Labs, Alani New, Pump Chasers, there's Redcon One, Axe and Sledge, plenty of different companies that pretty much have absolutely any supplement you could possibly think of. Pre-workouts, fat burners, BCAAs, electrolyte mixes, you name it, it's on there. So go to Tiger Fitness through the link below, use code Kyle at checkout to let them know that I sent you, get your protein powder, you name it, anything that's going to help you stick to your diet and hopefully achieve your health goals. All right, thanks. Back to the show. I do like this mug quite a bit. But kind of the whole conversation of lights, I think people really get spurgy about this, and they get spurgy about a lot of things because we live in such a sick society today, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, all this stuff. And this is what, like I said, Justine and I were kind of talking about this, where people are freaking out about the red dye 40, and like there probably is better dyes they could put in the food. But take, for example, I think probably every single person listening to this has taken a dopper of food dye and put in a glass of water. Okay, what happens when you put one drop, just like one quick drop of that like colored dye into water? It turns the entire fucking thing, whatever color that dye is. Do you really think that one little drop is that toxic that it's going to kill you and be the source of all your problems? I'm going to be honest. I think you're full of shit. I don't think that is that much of an issue. Now, if you're downing, if you're mainlining dye or something, which literally nobody does, okay, maybe, but nobody does that. It's likely all the stuff around it, right? People live holistically not very healthy lives. I try to explain this as much as I can because this really kind of covers the whole obesity crisis and the health issues that we have today. And once again, this goes back to the theme of kind of like the big picture. People look at like seed oils and artificial sweeteners and sugar and think like, okay, if we just ban those, we would be in paradise tomorrow. That's laughable. Let me just clarify that right now. Or end corn subsidies, which, okay, fair enough. I can agree with that. End corn subsidies and we'll be in paradise tomorrow. Sorry, but no. Obesity and like all the things that ail us in our society are very, very complicated. Anytime I see somebody just saying like just in the state or, you know, I argue with my one buddy Phil about this all the time where it's like, oh, it's all the markets. No, I think it's more complicated than that. The world is a very, very complicated place. People have many different motivations for doing the things they do. Some of it's monetary, some of it's belief, some of it's religious, some of it's just seemed like a good idea at the time. You know, people don't always have like this huge inner monologue, right? And you hear people talk about this, you know, almost to the point where it's a cliche of, you know, like, what is it, like 60% of people claim they don't have an inner monologue. Now, is that true or not? Who fucking knows? But where I was going with this is just like when you actually look out, you zoom out and then you look way back in the day. People were way, 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 way less sedentary. People moved around. People had to move around. People also didn't have cars that they could drive to go wherever they wanted to go. There was a lot restricting our movement physically because of technology. We didn't have the same technology that we have today. Because of that, we had to be more active, right? And this kind of goes to the whole conversation of like America versus Europe, where Europe is a much more walkable society than America is. You don't necessarily need a car over there. Like Jack, who was in the chat earlier, he lived in the Netherlands at one point, and as far as I know, he didn't have a car. He walked to his jobs. He may have took the bus or, you know, the monorail. If you're listening now, Jack, clarify for me, please, if I got any of that wrong. But that's a perfect example. He could be more active because his environment was so that he could be more active. Me, I have to drive 40 minutes to get to work. I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying it is what it is. A lot of people drive pretty far for work. My wife only drives like 5 minutes away, but it would take her quite a while to walk to work if she had to walk to work. And obviously she's pregnant right now. So if I told my wife, yeah, you have to walk to work, not cool, man. That little floor Guatemala kicks ass, by the way. But we don't live as active lifestyles anymore compared to how we did, you know, 60 years ago. Okay. So you control that side of the equation now where we don't put out as much energy as we used to years and years and years ago. So what about our food? We still had sugar. We still had seed oils. We didn't, I don't know the history of artificial sweeteners well enough to say if we had them, you know, 100 years ago or anything like that, but they were probably there, but just not as ubiquitous as they are now. So you had sugar and the ability to make hyperpalatable foods back in the 60s and 70s, but they weren't as widely available as they are now. So you now make hyperpalatable foods more available. People can drive to go around and get food, and they no longer have to walk to work or necessarily work extra jobs because we've created technologies that alleviate us from doing what we would deem as like over laborious jobs. Like factory work, right? Like you don't shovel out a ditch anymore because we have bulldozers. We have, you know, different machines that just basically make our lives easier. So now you control, you know, that respect of you don't move around as much. And now you have hyperpalatable foods readily available. So now you increase the amount of calories that people eat and you reduce the overall movement they do. My maintenance calorically, and I'm a big guy, I just hit my first 315 bench. Was that Friday? Pretty awesome. I could deadlift over 500 pounds and I can squat 400 pounds. Safe to say I'm probably more muscular than the average person. Just gone out on a limb there. That being said, my caloric maintenance is 2,800 calories a day. The average person eats about 3,500 calories a day. For me, that would be a pound a week. Let me make sure I got these numbers right. Pull up the calculator because I'm a fucking retard when it comes to math.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Let's go 3,500. Oh, no. I'm sorry. 700 times 7 equals 4,900. Okay, so actually about a pound and a half or a pound and a third. 3,500 calories a day. If I ate that every single day for a week, in theory, I would gain about a pound and a third a week. That's how much of a surplus I would be in at about 5'11", probably a little over 200 pounds, and with a decent bit of muscle mass. 2,800 calories. If I eat 3,500 calories a day, I would blow the fuck up. I'd be right back at 250 like I was 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. So, some weird kind of shirt to make it seem like you're into chess. There's actually like a camo design on this. And when I was buying this shirt, it was just cheap on the website. I liked the design. And then when I got it, I'm like, oh, there's actually like a camo design here. That's fucking awesome. Sorry. But when the average person where their maintenance is probably like anywhere from 2,300 as a man, 2,500 at most, maybe like at minimum, maybe 2,200 calories per day is about their maintenance without, you know, any muscle mass or anything like that. And walking like 3,000 steps a day, which is about the average. You have to imagine people are going to get very fat eating about 3,500 calories a day. If I would get fat doing that. We're all the way out. We're looking for 50,000 feet. And you see all these people eating 3,500 calories a day, walking 3,000 steps a day. That explains the obesity crisis right there. It ain't popular, that explanation, because guess what? That means you have to make a conscious effort of what you put in your mouth. You have to make a conscious effort to physically move and do more physical activity. But if I just tell you, fuck seed oils, fuck fat, fuck whatever the diet trend is, right? Then now the benefit of that, which I will give the devil its due in this respect, is that now you're going to remove potentially a lot of foods that may add to the hyperpalatability of your diet, which takes out a lot of calories by default, right? That's good. The problem is that when you say carbohydrates are all bad, which people do, and I think that's absolutely retarded, not only does this kind of create a poor relationship with food, it also creates a potential binge response, which a lot of people do have, and it's very, very unhealthy. When you create that response, then it's kind of like you are good for so long, but then now when you have a little bit of carbohydrate, it's fucking them off to the races. Let me catch up with some of these comments here. No, it's not a Freemason shirt or a racing shirt. Our brains burn the bulk of our calories, the amount of muscle, and more also impact this. No. Our bodies, it's actually your non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So basically, the majority of your calories are burned by involuntary movement. So like the way I move my hands here, it's not like conscious effort. That's actually what burns the bulk of your calories. NIH pop. No. The involuntary movement is generally what burns the most calories. You can kind of change this with like, you know, eating more protein or, you know, going on walks and stuff like that. But the bulk of your calories are burned from involuntary movement. Your brain's probably part of that, sure. But the physical involuntary movement that you do is going to burn the bulk of your calories. And when you actually start to go into caloric deficit, what tends to happen is actually you move around less. They've done studies on this where they actually found that like they would overfeed people by 1,000 calories above their maintenance per day. Some people gained a predictable amount of weight. Some people gained less weight. Some people didn't gain any weight at all. The explanation there is that probably the person who didn't gain any weight at all are the people who just, you know, spontaneously move more because of the excess energy. What are your thoughts on fasting periods versus a series of meals throughout the day? If you could give me like an idea of like your goals and kind of like what you're trying to do, I could give you a little bit of a better answer. Me personally, I kind of like eating a little bit more throughout the day. I used to do a lot of fasting, but at a certain point I had to recognize that just didn't work for me anymore. And this is when I went from the carnivore diet to more flexible dieting, or if it fits your macros, where I still get like the majority of my calories from whole foods, animal proteins, fruits and vegetables. But I still like to fit in a protein bar, a slice of cheesecake or something like that. So yeah, if you can give me a little bit more on like what your goal is or like kind of your angle on this, I could give you a better answer. I would argue that sedentary people probably should limit carbs because they aren't using them anyways. Well, I disagree with this for the fact that like if you're on keto, let's say, right, if you're it doesn't really matter where the sources of calories are coming from, right? Because if you eat more fat in your diet and take out carbohydrates, then you store more fat, but you burn more fat. If you have a lot of carbs, then you store less fat, but you also burn less fat. What dictates the amount of fat that you actually lose, not just burn, but actually lose, is the overall caloric expenditure. It's overall calories that matter. So should you have a diet of straight carbs? I don't think so, but you can still lose weight if you're eating just carbs. Would I recommend that? No. Personally, I like a more balanced diet where I think it's like 50-50, right? So like 50% of calories come from fat, 50% of calories come from carbohydrate, and then I fill the rest in with, I get 200 grams of protein per day, right? And then I basically fill the rest in with carbs and fats as I deem necessary. A couple weeks ago, I ate raw beef out of the package and I was fine. Okay. sorry, trimming some weight. No, that's okay. Yeah. Trimming weight. If fasting helps you stick to your diet, then okay, cool. According to most literature I've read and I've seen, fasting multi-day is not optimal. You'll probably lose some lean mass, but if you just do like your 16-8 or your intermittent fasting, as long as you're getting some protein in through like in a day, you're probably going to be fine. I would still imagine that it's probably better to have about three meals of protein throughout the day. So if you're about my weight, then you would have three meals of about 70, you know, let's say 50 to 70 grams of protein a day. That would be fine. There's some people like to do OMAD. Personally, I don't think that's optimal, but once again, what's optimal? If optimal for you right now is losing weight and one meal a day is optimal for you, then okay, it's fine. It is what it is. Yeah, like I said, for me, I like to have a little bit more of a mixed diet. I still, like I said, get most of my calories from whole foods, animal protein, specifically leaner animal proteins, because I try to keep my saturated fat down low, lots of fiber, lots of fruits and vegetables. So that's just me personally. But yeah, Justine and I were talking and she's mentioning how she had a client who just loses her mind about the red dye 40, and she's blaming the red dye 40 for all her kids problems, I think she said. And it's like, oh, well, he's a boy, right? Like, you have a kid. A kid isn't meant to sit there, sit still, be good. Like, you could try to get him to do that, but a kid's full of energy, right? They're growing. They're learning about the world. They're going to be full of energy, right? I hope my daughter is when she gets here. I'm not going to expect her to sit down, shut up, and just listen. Like, that's just not what kids do. I mean, you could walk outside your front door and go to a park and see kids running around. It's just what they do. The two benefits of carbs are energy and also making it a lot easier to eat more protein. I think you're missing a little bit here, Moldy, because carbohydrates are actually the most satiating protein's the most satiating macronutrient, but like carbs are great for volume for people that have like a big appetite, right? So, a white potato, plain white potato, not with salt, not with butter, just a plain white potato by itself is the most satiating food on the face of the planet. You might have heard people talk about the potato diet where basically just somebody eats nothing but potatoes. It's because there's only going to be so much potato that you want to eat before you just say, all right, get this the fuck out of here. That's one thing. You know, you think about an orange is like big as my fist, right? And it's only like 60 calories. A comparison I've used a lot, and if you've listened to the show for any period of time, you've probably heard me make it before, where basically one can of Coke, right? So it's probably a little bit smaller than this cup of coffee, right? That's 140 calories right there with high fructose corn syrup. You could eat a pound of strawberries for that much, and you could probably eat a little bit more watermelon for that much calorie-wise. Now think about like the volume of a pound of strawberries or like the volume of a pound of watermelon. And that's about the same calories you're going to get in a can of Coke. That's why I think carbs are useful. Satiety. Satiety is not everything when it comes to complying with your diet, but it is definitely a factor. If you're hungry, you're not going to want to eat, or you're going to want to eat. I apologize. So carbs drive satiation. No, I would not. You're missing my point if you're saying that. Rice and pasta, especially pasta, is not very voluminous, right? Like, at least the way that I'm thinking about it, because like you have all the sauce and there's probably fats in the sauces as well. I'm talking about a plain boiled potato. That is the most satiating food. Eat just a plain potato, not fried in oil, right? If French fries, right? For example, French fries are very hyperpalatable because you're taking a starchy carbohydrate and you're dousing it in oil, which kills the overall, which changes the palatability of it, right? Think about like the taste of a French fry. It's delicious, right? Everybody loves French fries versus just like a plain boiled potato. Greatly different texture and everything. Is a bit important to keep in mind that the research typically generalized or normalized is implied per se to an individual person. Sure. Volume. That's kind of what I'm speaking to when it comes to carbohydrates. Like fat, you could add hundreds, not just like 50, 60 calories. You could add hundreds of calories by just adding like a teaspoon or two of oil. Now, to give the devil its due in this respect, fat slows down digestion, so your overall satiety may be a little bit longer when you include more fat. you could also put fiber in here. And like, I'm not being anti-fat here. I'm just saying like, you have to understand from like a caloric perspective, if you douse something in butter, seed oils, any kind of oil, you're going to change not only the texture of it, but you're going to add substantially more calories whenever you douse stuff in oil. Something to consider. So this goes to the whole seed oil thing where people think if you would just ban seed oils and everything would be fine. Okay, well, if you replace every single calorie that seed oils are occupying in all these hyperpalatable foods, just replace it with butter, people would probably be more sick. They wouldn't be less sick. They would probably be more sick, right? Because butter tastes good. People are going to want to eat more of it. And not only that, butter is a saturated fat and like probably the worst kind of saturated fat that's going to elevate your LDL. And I've had this argument with people and I changed my mind on it over time. When you look at people who have a higher LDL cholesterol over time, a lifetime higher exposure of LDL will lead to more cardiovascular disease than a lower lifetime exposure of LDL cholesterol. Yeah. So yeah, like I said, just kind of looking at the big picture, I think a lot of people fail to do this because you can almost get like a more accurate picture when you do something like that and you remove a lot of like the individual variables. And Jordan Peterson made this point once, and I thought it was well observed that basically like, when you're in chaos, you kind of shorten your time frame because you can't think too far out ahead. If you are getting your ass beat right now, someone is kicking you in the face, you're not thinking about what you're having for dinner that night. You're thinking about how can I stop this person from kicking me in the face any longer? So once you're done and let's say you kick that other person's ass or the person walks away, you got your ass kicked. Now you can start thinking a little bit more long-term because you're no longer in that chaos. Alyssa. A fistful of Zans is delicious. It's benzodiazepines. That's it. You know, Captain Benzo himself. Pete Quinones had a really funny name for him. And I wish I could find it. But when you're obese, right? If you're unhealthy, you can't think about what you're going to look like when you are healthy. When I was 250 pounds with a big old belly and felt like shit all the time, I couldn't think about what it'd feel like to be where I am now. And like, I could definitely afford to tighten things up a little bit. We all can, but I'm definitely guilty of it right now. I couldn't think about what it was going to be like to finally hit a 500 pound deadlift or a 315 bench or a 400 pound squat or to, you know, run a 5K in like 23 minutes like I've done before. But as I started to step out and detach and zoom out, I began to think, okay, well, I need to change my diet. So that's when I went carnivore and then lost a whole bunch of weight. And then eventually I found out that, oh, during that carnivore time, I was good for a little bit, but then I would start binging. You look out over the period of time and you see that like you're good for weeks and then you fall off and you binge during the weekends and you're back on, fall off, and it's this constant roller coaster and you're not hitting your goals. And you look across a long enough timeline and you see like, okay, my weight's here and I go down for a few days and then I'm back up and I'm constantly just right back in the same spot. You see the big picture. It's all I'm saying here. So yeah, I think it's important sometimes to just slow down and kind of just think about things a lot, you know, more backed up. Speaking of slow down, we're probably going to wind down the show here soon. Please consider becoming a channel member where you could see all the Common Crown stuff. I just uploaded and it took me forever because my computer is old, or at least all the hardware is old. And I was having trouble getting this video out there. So here's a little preview. This is my solo from one of our songs called Slow Down. That's going to be out here hopefully before the end of the year. Thank you. So you can see all of that, that whole show where we covered Killing in the Name of, Praise by Seven Dust, It Ain't Like That by Alice in Chains, and we played a bunch of our original material. If you choose to become a channel member for the lowly price of $2.99 a month, it would mean a lot to me. And you get access to podcasts without ads, and you also get access to all the Common Crown footage that I have stored up there, and obviously all the shows in the future. Would really mean a lot to me if you did, but yeah, stuff's cool, man. So if you guys don't really got any more questions, I think I kind of belabored the point enough. I think we're gonna go ride around on the moped with my older brother and enjoy the rest of the day. So hopefully everybody, you guys have a fantastic week. I know this week is going to be a lot of fun for me. I believe I have Sarah from DD Geopolitics coming on Wednesday, and then Marcel Dumas on Thursday. It's going to be pretty cool. Hey, Dave, good to see you, brother. So yeah, packed schedule this week, and I forget who I have on next week, but no Sunday coffee next Sunday, obviously. Glad to be back. And yeah, I think that's it. So thank you guys so much for listening. You guys are great, and tune in on Wednesday for my show with Sarah from DD Geopolitics. It will surely be a fun one, and then obviously my show Thursday with Marcel at Anarchy in Black on Twitter. Should be good conversations, and yeah, one more time, please consider becoming a channel member for $2.99 a month. What else? You could see all the Common Crown footage. Go to all the links below so you could support me. Go through tigerfitness.com, use code Kyle at checkout. And with that, I am out of here. Thanks, guys.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.